Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the National Grid Investor Call. My name is Tom, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to one of our operators. I'm now handing you over to John Pettigrew to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call regarding the sale of a majority stake in our U.K. gas distribution business. Having run a highly competitive process, I'm pleased to announce that we've signed an agreement to sell a 61% share in the business for £8.4 billion to a consortium of long-term infrastructure investors. This implies an enterprise value of £13.8 billion for the gas distribution business as a whole. As you would have seen from the statement, the consortium comprises of a number of infrastructure investors. This consortium has long-standing experience investing in utilities and critical infrastructure in the UK. They're committed to being a long-term investor and responsible custodians of the gas distribution business, and we look forward to working in partnership with them. This transaction will enable us to continue to build a strong asset portfolio that delivers an attractive combination of yield and growth for our shareholders. The sale will rebalance our portfolio towards asset growth within the 5-7% range, assuming RPI inflation of 3%, while sustaining dividends in line with our policy. As I mentioned previously, given the degree to which the gas distribution business was integrated within National Grid, the process to create a standalone entity has been complex. To achieve this, we've had to refinance the business with attractive rates, separate a large pension scheme into three sections, and transfer systems and processes that covered many key operational functions. Given all of this, I'm pleased we've been able to get to this point in such tight timescales. Following completion of this sale, we expect to return £4 billion to shareholders. The proceeds will be returned through a combination of a special dividend with share consolidation and a share buyback program. We intend to return at least 75% of the proceeds via the special dividend. I can also confirm that the board has set aside £150 million to be used for the benefit of energy consumers. I take very seriously the role we play in people's daily lives, and I'm pleased we take this opportunity to ensure that our wider stakeholders benefit from the incremental value of the sale. Looking forward, the transaction is subject to European Commission merger clearance, but is expected to be complete by the end of the first quarter of calendar 2017. The consortium has expressed an interest in a potential purchase of a further 14% in the UK gas distribution business. This would be on broadly similar terms to today's announcement, and we'll share further details if agreement is reached. I'd now like to hand over to Andrew, who will take you through more of the financial detail.
Thank you, John, and good morning, everyone. I would now like to start by providing some detail around the valuation and return of proceeds. We will realise the value of £8.4 billion for a 61% share in UK gas distribution. As at 31st of March 2016, the gas distribution business had regulated asset value of £8.7 billion, operating profit of £900 million, and profit before tax of £700 million. As you will have seen from this morning's announcement, 61% of the equity in the gas distribution business has been valued at £3.6 billion. In addition, we will receive £1.8 billion of cash released through additional debt financing. We expect to return £4 billion to shareholders after retaining £0.7 billion of the additional debt financing to maintain our equity interest in National Grid Gas Distribution, and after deducting transaction and other related costs of £0.5 billion. These costs associated with business separation, debt management, which included the buyback of old high-priced debt, advisory fees, and other costs, including the voluntary contribution for the benefit of energy consumers. In terms of the method for the return, as John has mentioned, we expect to return at least 75% of the proceeds via special dividend. Given the size of the special dividend, we will carry out a share consolidation to reduce the number of shares in issue in proportion to the reduction in the asset base. This consolidation also ensures that the share price, earnings per share, and dividend per share remain consistent before and after the transaction, making it easier for shareholders to compare year-on-year performance. A share consolidation requires shareholder approval, and accordingly, a general meeting will be convened. We will share the details of the meeting in due course. It is our intention to pay the special dividend as soon as possible after completion, and depending on the timing of completion, this is currently expected to be in the second quarter of calendar 2017. The share buyback program will also commence following completion. Turning now to the expected impact of the transaction on the P&L and balance sheet. On completion, we will fair value our 39% interest in gas distribution and treat this as an associate for accounting purposes. Profit after tax from the business will be included in the associates line, and our cash flow will benefit from ongoing dividends from the business. Reflecting the 39% minority share, the gas distribution debt will be deconsolidated from the group balance sheet. Our balance sheet and credit metrics will remain strong post the transaction, and we will maintain our existing dividend policy. We expect our group credit ratings to remain unchanged. We plan to complete at the end of the first quarter of calendar 27, and we will keep you updated on progress. Thank you very much for your attention. John and I are now happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and you want to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. Please ensure your line remains unmuted locally. You will be prompted when to ask your question. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's just star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, our first question comes from the line of Chris Labatt. Please go ahead, Chris. You're now unmuted.
Oh, good morning. Just two questions, please. In terms of the dividend policy going forward, do you expect your coverage metrics to be unaffected by the sell down, given your asset base will be slightly reduced through the sell down process? And secondly, just on costs, in terms of the 0.5 million costs that you've announced today, does that include anything for the debt refinancing activities and the balance sheet adjustment that you announced recently? Thank you.
So, Andrew, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, certainly. So on the dividend policy, what will happen is, obviously, with the share consolidation, effectively the number of shares in issue will be reduced. So we expect the dividend earnings per share to be comparable going forward, so therefore there will be no change in dividend policy, and the dividend policy will be to obviously grow the dividend in line with RPI inflation for the foreseeable future. That was one of the key reasons why we are doing the share consolidation as well. And then the cost, the $500 million includes a proportion of the cost related to the refinancing. So if you remember, there was £718 million of costs at the half year. On a post-tax is about £140 million of that. The balance is then split almost evenly between gas distribution and electricity transmission. Electricity transmission obviously will not be part of those transaction costs, but we will charge 61% of the gas D element of the costs of between £250 and £300 million to the transaction. So that's included in the £500.
And so the implication there is that we shouldn't then add in additional debt costs to adjust the EV. We're comfortable at this point that the $500 million accounts for all of those costs relating to this transaction.
Yes, it accounts for all which relate to the transaction itself, yeah.
Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Jenny Ping from Citi. Please go ahead, Jenny. You're now unmuted.
Hi, morning. I have two questions also. Firstly, can you give us the net debt RAV of the new company, what the financial gearing structure would look like? And secondly, can you also give us some color as to what the reason is why you didn't agree on selling the additional 14% equity today, given the buyers are also talking about a similar price for the additional equity value? Why didn't you sell the 75% today? What's the logic behind it? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jenny. I'll take the second one, and I'll hand the first one over to Andrew. In terms of the second one, so what we've announced today is the 61% sale. We've also indicated that there is the potential to agree with the consortium an additional 14%. We're continuing that discussion. We'll be hopeful that we'll be in a position to announce something before the completion of the sale in Q1. So it's not a case that we've not taken the option, that we're still in discussions with regards to the consortium, with regards to the 14%. Andrew, do you want to pick up the first item?
Yeah, on debt within the entity itself, within the operating entity, it will be the regulated debt, Jenny, at 65%,
yeah.
Approximately. And then actually all the additional financing that's raised will be in a mid-co structure, which is the $1.8 billion.
Okay, so $1.8 billion on top of the operating. Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Lakis Athanasiou. And Lakis is calling from Agency Partners. Please go ahead, Lakis. You're now unmuted.
Okay. Two questions, please. The first, have the rating agencies given an indication of how they'll treat your associate gas distribution companies, whether they'll look at them as an investment or whether they'll consolidate proportionately? And the second thing is, I'm not entirely sure about what you guys are actually holding as the as your associate holding. Would it include the Midco debt as well, or are you at the kind of Opco holding level?
Okay. Lakis, on the rating agencies, we've had obviously preliminary discussions with them. Obviously, they will need to look at the shareholder agreement and confirm with us that they are happy that it does reflect deconsolidation. We believe that it will because obviously control and operating control sits with the consortium itself, and effectively we don't. That's why we are accounting for it as associate as well. So it should meet their requirements, and it shouldn't require proportional consolidation either. And then on the equity value, what will happen on the balance sheet is we will value the equity today as if we had actually sold it and grossed it up. On the Midco debt cash we've received, effectively that will be cash sitting on our balance sheet. So it won't be sitting within the associate line. It will actually be sitting within an offset against net.
No, I understand that, but the Midco debt will be a debt that the purchasers have a liability on. You're not involved in that. I mean, it doesn't matter how you got the money or where it came from, you got the money. So it's an artificial split, the 3.6 and the 1.8. But you don't have any liability on that 1.8 Midco debt is what I was asking.
We don't.
Right.
So that will not be the balance sheet, then.
Yeah, okay, understood.
Okay, thanks, Lakis.
Our next question comes from the line of Deepa Venkateswaran from Bernstein. Please go ahead, Deepa. You're now unmuted.
Thank you. I had two questions. Just to clarify, how much of debt should we assume is deconsolidated after the transaction? Is it the 65% of RAV? And secondly, in terms of accounting, when will you deconsolidate it? Is it essentially next financial year or already once the transaction is completed, say, Q1 of 17?
Yeah, Deepa, the debt is the 65%, so that will be deconsolidated. So about £5.6 billion as of 31st of March 2016. As regards deconsolidation, we will now probably be in a position where we have to treat the assets as held for disposal. If we produced accounts and it wasn't completed by the 31st of March, we expect the completion to be by the end of 31st of March. So effectively, it will then now be treated as a assets disposed of and an associate created in the balance sheet.
Okay, so should we? So for the full year, even for the period where you were still holding it as a subsidiary on the P&L?
Be a discontinued operation, yeah.
Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of Fraser McLaren from Bank of America. Please go ahead, Fraser. You're now unmuted.
Good morning. I also have two questions. The first is just in relation to the potential additional 14% stake. What would you plan to do with the proceeds if that was to go ahead? And secondly, notwithstanding the effect of the consolidation, could you confirm that the other parameters of the transaction meets your original aim of it being broadly earnings neutral in future?
So let me pick up the first one. I'll hand the second to Andrew. So in terms of the potential 14%, so let me just be clear on this. So what over the next quarter, we will look to get an agreement with the consortium on it. No decision has been made with regards to when we would sell any of the remaining 39%, including the 14%. And therefore, it's way too early, to be honest, Roger, to think about, you know, exactly what we're going to do in terms of return of funds on that. Andrew, do you want to pick up the earnings point?
Yeah. So, obviously, this year is going to be slightly confusing, Fraser, because, obviously, it's a discontinued operation. The results are excluded from earnings per share. And, therefore, you will see a headline earnings per share number which excludes the guest distribution. But because we haven't done the share consolidation, obviously you don't have the reduction in the number of shares. So, effectively, you'll see a drop in the headline earnings per share this year and then a significant rise back up next year once we have the paid the special dividend and done the share consolidation. So net-net, actually, you broadly restart back at the same place. Yes, it does get you back there. It's just the methodology, and we'll obviously spend a little bit of time in May making sure you guys are comfortable with how that all works through.
Okay. Many thanks.
Thanks, Ruth.
Our next question comes from the line of Dominic Nash from Macquarie. Please go ahead, Dominic. You're now unmuted.
Hi there. Yes, I've got two questions as well, please. Firstly, coming back to this structure, just for clarity again, are you going to be owning 39% of the 65% levered entity, and the consortium essentially owns the 61% via the Midco where the debt set sits? And if so, does that mean that actually the headline value that you're getting for your stake sale isn't necessarily the same value that you yourselves would have because you've got different capital structure and tax issues? And the second question is that you've said that you're going to give back £150 million to customers. Do you know how you're going to do that?
Right, so let me pick on the first, and I'll ask Andrew just to run through the structure and the Midco piece again, I think. So in terms of the £150 million, so what you would have seen in the statement today is that we've announced that our intention is to return £150 million to customers. We think it's important that all our stakeholders benefit from the incremental value that's been created through the transaction. At this stage, we haven't decided exactly what that route is because NatWest hasn't got effectively a distribution route to the final customers. What we said is that we'll work with Ofgem about how that £150 million can have the biggest impact on energy consumers in the UK. So once we've got that worked out, Dominic, we'll let the market know. But it's a piece of work we'll do with Ofgem over the next few weeks. In terms of the structure, Andrew, do you want to just run through that again?
Yeah. So to be 100% clear, we will own our 39% stake in the structure. There's a TopCo, MidCo, and the operating company. So the £1.8 billion we get back on from the refinancing of the MidCo is 100% of that. We are giving back 61% to shareholders, and we are retaining 39%. So in effect, we retain the same economic equity value in the entity itself, except for that will be sitting as cash on our balance sheet, because in effect, the entity itself will be having more leverage than would normally be. So we would actually effectively hold it in our balance sheet to be an offset against that incremental leverage.
So when the dust settles, essentially you own 39% of the 65% levered entity, is what you're saying.
Yeah, economically that's what effectively it is, but the reality is we actually own 39% of the 85% levered entity. So it's slightly confusing, we know.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Guy McKenzie from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, Guy, you're now unmuted.
Good morning. Two questions from me. Firstly, just on the remaining 39%, can you tell us anything about what the lockup period is, or what kind of preemption rights the consortium might have beyond obviously the 14% that you're already in discussions with selling to them additionally? Secondly, you mentioned that you're confident on maintaining the credit rating, but can you tell us a bit more precisely what happens to your group credit ratios following the sale, in particular your RCF to net debt ratio going forward?
Okay, so let me pick up the first one, and then I'll hand over to Andrew for the second one. So in terms of the first one, so there are no conditions on the remaining 39%. So as we said, we've taken no decision on selling the remaining 39%, and there are no preemption or rights at all. In terms of the credit ratings, Andrew?
Yeah, actually, we will get a slight tick up on the RCF to debt because for two reasons. One, while we hold the remaining 39%, we'll receive income in form of a dividend stream, which will help, obviously, the top operating cash flow. And then we will no longer be consolidating the debt. And as we know, the debt in GasD is a higher proportion of debt than other parts of our business. So we expect a small improvement in the RCF to debt metric as a result of the transaction.
Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from the line of John Musk. Please go ahead, John. You're now unmuted.
Sorry, it's all right. My questions have been answered.
Okay, thank you, John. I'll remute your line. Just a second, please. Okay, moving on to our next question then. It comes from the line of AJ Patel, and AJ is calling from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, AJ. You're now unmuted.
Good morning. I just wanted to check the tax implications of this deal. Is that all? I just wanted to know if you could just go through actually how that works, as in will there be an additional tax burden for this or not, and is that included in the $500 million that you're talking about in terms of the cost for the overall deal?
There is virtually no tax payable on the deal. We've pre-cleared most, obtained tax clearances already. There will be some small amounts paid, but that is included within the sort of $500 million number.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Deepa Venkateswaran from Bernstein again. So you're now unmuted, Deepa. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. I just want to clarify what might be the dividend policy of the new entity, just so we understand how much we can model in terms of cash inflows from your 39% stake.
Andrew, do you want to pick up?
Yeah, I think my understanding, Deepa, is as part of this shareholder agreement, we will agree a distribution policy, and that policy mostly will be to distribute what cash is in the entity itself each year.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we currently have no more questions in the queue, so please be reminded, if you do want to ask a question, just press *1 on your telephone keypad now. Okay, we've got another question coming through, and it comes from the line of Ian Turner, and Ian is calling from Exane. Please go ahead, Ian. You're now unmuted.
Morning, gentlemen. Can I just get you to go through how you calculate the EV of $13.8 billion? I think it's probably – I'm struggling with this 1.8 again. What we need is a diagram.
Andrew?
Yeah. So the way to think about it is effectively we get the equity portion, 61%, is £3.6 billion. So that equates to an entity value of around £6 billion. If you are 100% of that, you add back the midco debt at £1.8 billion, then you add back opco debt at fair value, which is £6 billion rather than £5.6 billion, and that gets you to your 13.8.
Okay. Why don't you add back? Why don't you gross up the 1.8? Why have you got all of the 1.8? Why haven't you got 39% of it?
Because effectively it is the financing put into the mid part of the structure which effectively then is used as a way of leverage, effectively all that cash through refinancing comes straight back to us as part of the transaction just ahead of the deal being completed.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions in the queue. At this point, the conference will conclude. Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.